Let's read together Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 22. In this section of Hebrews 11, we have some more about the faith of Abraham, as well as the faith of Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. Let's begin this section of Hebrews chapter 11 with some background notes. You know, just last week, a good Christian friend of mine was sharing with me that he had just finished a book which was written by a man who had had a near-death experience. As a result of this so-called out-of-the-body experience, this man testified in his book that he had come to faith. However, throughout the book, he never explained what he meant by come to faith. Apparently, from what is in the book, it was not faith in Christ or in the God of the Bible, but just faith that there's life after death based on an experience. Well, that kind of faith may change your outlook on life, but it won't save you. That's not the kind of faith that Hebrews 11 is talking about. Faith in the Bible is not just faith as an end in itself or faith based on an experience. No. Biblical faith, as we see here in Hebrews 11, is faith in the God of the Bible and believing and acting on what God has said and revealed. This is the kind of faith that pleases the heart of God. Now, in the verses before us, we have the faith of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Notice how in each case, their faith was demonstrated by their actions, and those actions were based on what God had revealed. This is the kind of faith that God is looking for. Let me ask you, do you have a faith that pleases God? Then follow the faith of these biblical models. That leads us now to our four doctrinal points. Doctrinal point number one, believers should follow the faith of Abraham. Believers should follow the faith of Abraham, verses 17 through 19. We had the faith of Abraham mentioned before in this chapter, back in verse 8. But here in verses 17 through 19, we have the greatest test of Abraham's faith. That is when Abraham was told by God to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. Let's read about this supreme test of Abraham's faith back in Genesis chapter 22. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." What a test of faith. Now I'm sure that you are aware of the beautiful Old Testament type or picture that we have here of the sacrifice of Christ. As Isaac went willingly to the place of sacrifice, so the Lord Jesus went willingly to the cross as the sacrificial Lamb of God. As Abraham spared not his beloved son, Isaac, so God spared not his own beloved son. Notice how the phrase "only begotten" in verse 17 of Hebrews 11 is the same phrase as used in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." It's often been pointed out that God spared Abraham's heart a pang he would not spare his own heart. What is very interesting about this great Old Testament type or picture is that Hebrews 11:19 shows that this Old Testament event was not only a picture of the sacrifice and death of Christ, but also a picture of the resurrection of Christ. Verse 19, once again, "Abraham accounted that God was able to raise Isaac up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense." So Hebrews 11 then shows us that in Genesis 22, we have a picture of the sacrifice of Christ, including his death and resurrection. But the main point of these verses in Hebrews 11 is to highlight the test of Abraham's faith. It was the supreme test of faith, and Abraham passed this test of faith because he believed what God had revealed, and he obeyed God. God had revealed to Abraham that Isaac was the promised son, and that the Abrahamic covenant would be fulfilled through Isaac and the descendants of Isaac. There was no way that Isaac could die, or at least remain dead, before he was married and had children. Abraham's faith was so strong that he really believed that God could and would raise Isaac from the dead if need be. Well, we know the rest of the story and the fact that God never intended to have Isaac sacrificed. But Abraham did not know that. And yet, Abraham trusted the Lord completely. God and what God had said was the focus of Abraham's faith. What a model of faith for us. What is our response when our faith is tested? I mean really tested. Believers should follow the faith of Abraham. Doctrine point number two. Believers should follow the faith of Isaac. Believers should follow the faith of Isaac. Verse 20. Do you remember the story of Jacob and Esau? In Genesis 25, God had revealed to Isaac and Rebekah, even before the boys were born, that the descendants of the older son Esau would serve the descendants of the younger son Jacob. But Isaac did not like this. It was not only politically and culturally incorrect for the older to serve the younger, but Esau was Isaac's favorite son. So in Genesis chapter 27, Isaac gave the blessing to Esau. At least he thought it was Esau. Why, this was against God's will. Think of it. How then can Hebrews 11:20 say, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come? The answer comes in Genesis 27, verse 33. When Isaac realized that he had been tricked and had really blessed Jacob instead of Esau, he did not revoke the blessing that had been pronounced on Jacob. Look at what he said to Esau in Genesis 27, verse 33. And indeed he shall be blessed. Based on what God had revealed years before, by faith, Isaac let the blessing stand on his two sons as God intended it. God recognized that last-minute faith and honored it in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, this lesson in faith should be very encouraging to us, especially if we have wavered in faith. Let me ask you, have you been wavering in your faith? Maybe for years? Listen, turn to the Lord in full trust. God will honor this genuine faith, no matter how much you wavered. Believers should follow the faith of Isaac. Doctrine point number three, believers should follow the faith of Jacob. Believers should follow the faith of Jacob. Verse 21. In Genesis chapter 48, Joseph brought his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, to aged Jacob for blessing. He brought them before his father so that Jacob's right hand of blessing would go on the head of Manasseh, the firstborn, and his left hand would go on the head of Ephraim, the younger son. But Jacob crossed his hands and gave the greater blessing to Ephraim, the younger son. Now we believe that God had revealed to Jacob the fact that Ephraim would become the greater tribe in Israel. And that indeed came true. In fact, the tribe of Ephraim was so significant that the northern kingdom of Israel became known as Ephraim. So in spite of the culture and in spite of the suggestions made by Joseph, Jacob blessed Joseph's sons in line with what God had revealed to him about the future. That's the kind of faith that God is looking for. And one more point is added here about Jacob's faith. He worshiped leaning on the top of his staff. When you look at the biblical record of the life of Jacob, there are a lot of ways we don't want to follow Jacob. I mean, Jacob had a lot of rough edges, and he had a long way to go in the school of God. But he makes it into the hall of faith of Hebrews 11 because he did show that he had a genuine faith, and that true faith resulted in true worship at the end of his days. What an encouragement, especially for older Christians who may not have shown a lot of faith in their younger years. So in this way, believers should follow the faith of Jacob. And doctrinal point number 4, believers should follow the faith of Joseph. Believers should follow the faith of Joseph. Verse 22, we read about this act of the faith of Joseph in the last chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 50, verses 24 and 25. And Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. This is quite a statement of faith at this point in Joseph's life, isn't it? I mean, think of Joseph's high position in Egypt. Think of the wealth and comfort that surrounded him. God himself had provided this for Joseph and his people. But God had also revealed to Abraham 200 years before this time that he was giving the land of Canaan to Abraham's descendants. Joseph believed what God had revealed. That's biblical faith. Joseph believed in the promises literally. He didn't spiritualize the land promise away. He believed so strongly in the literal promise of God to give that land permanently to Israel, that he made sure his bones would be taken out of Egypt and buried in the land. Read the account of how Joseph's bones were taken from Egypt in Exodus 13 and then were buried in the land at Shechem, Joshua chapter 24. The tomb of Joseph is there to this day in the land. It's in the modern town of Nablus. The tomb of Joseph is a testimony to the faith of Joseph. He believed what God had promised, literally. Believers should follow the faith of Joseph. What about practical application? Have you passed the test of faith for children? Have you passed the test of faith for children? Now, you're probably asking at this point, what do you mean, Dr. Dave? Do you mean become as little children in childlike faith, as Jesus said? No. Do you mean have a low-level, immature faith? Certainly not. Go back to verses 17 through 19 about Abraham. Abraham passed the test of faith for children. Namely, he was willing to give up Isaac. Have you passed that test? Have you released your children to the Lord? You know, some Christian parents refuse to do that. They want total control of their children's lives. Even the Lord is hindered in directing these young people to the mission field, for example, because the parents have other plans. Single people here today, determine that when you're a parent, you're going to release your children to the Lord. This is a good question for all of us, isn't it? Have you passed the test of faith for children?